Exodus 32. We continue lessons from the making of the gold calf. Exodus 32 verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. Praise the name of the Lord. We want to look at that little phrase. It says, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron. The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron. Praise the name of the Lord. When we look at that phrase, we find two things that are not quite sitting right there. The first one is that they gathered themselves together. The second one is that when they gathered themselves together, it was unto who? Aaron. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So this morning I want to ask us a question. I believe the Lord wants us to answer one question. To whom is your gathering? To whom is your gathering? To whom is your gathering? In Genesis chapter 11, Genesis 11, from verse 1 through to 9, the Bible says, And the whole earth was one of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city, and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city, and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth. May the Lord bless the name of God in Jesus' name.
Amen.
These people gathered themselves together. I don't think God was angry with their gathering per se, as in the fact that their gathering was a contradiction to his instruction. His instruction was simple, that man should go, replenish the earth, subdue it, and take over the earth. But these ones were willing to gather only in one place and not be scattered. And so God came down and scattered them. Secondly, they were gathered together to make a name, not for the Lord, but for them, for themselves. And God had to scatter them, because they did not want to be scattered at all. They just wanted to stay in one place. And God did what He alone could do. He scattered them. In Psalm 2, we see another kind of gathering together, which was not unto God. As a matter of fact, there was a gathering together in rebellion. Psalm 2, verse 1 and verse 1 to 4. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. The kings of the earth gather themselves together to rebel against the Almighty. To whom is your gathering? And why are you gathering? These ones were gathering together because they wanted to break the bands. They thought that the rulership of God was too heavy on them, and they wanted to rebel against them, but against it. But the Almighty God, in his own mercy, the Bible says, that He will laugh at them. He will hold them in derision. In Genesis 49 verse 10, Genesis 49 verse 10, the Bible says, in part, that Well, let me read from the whole scripture. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, unto Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Shiloh, the peaceful one, the one who is going to bring peace, the Prince of Peace. When he comes, the people shall be gathered unto him. Our gathering is supposed to be unto the Almighty God. Praise the name of the Lord. When we come together, when we gather ourselves together, we are gathering ourselves unto the Lord. How many of you remember that song? We are gathering together unto thee, unto the Lord. We are gathering together unto the Lord. Shall the gathering of his people be. We are gathering together. The next time we have cause to sing that song, we will sing it now with understanding. That we are gathered together unto the Lord. And because we are gathered together unto the Lord, it holds a whole load of meaning. We are gathered unto his purpose. We are gathered unto his plan. We are gathered because he's the one who wants us gathering together. We are not just gathering together unto ourselves. We are not just gathering ourselves together unto one man. We are gathering together unto the Lord, unto Shiloh, unto the peaceful one, the Prince of Peace. In Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 20, this is the Lord speaking. He says, at that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you. For I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Our gathering is not unto ourselves. No man can gather other people together and succeed. Only the Almighty can gather people together and will succeed. He says, I will gather you together and I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth. When God is the one doing the gathering, he makes us a name and a praise. In other words, it makes us something or people that people will be speaking about and declaring concerning them that their Lord is good to them. In Isaiah chapter 56 verse 8, speaking about this time, because Zephaniah 3:20 actually speaks about Israel, but speaking about this time, God speaks through Isaiah. Says, the Lord God which gathereth the outcasts of Israel saith, yet will I gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him. Who are the others? You and I. The Gentiles had not been gathered at that time. The Gentiles were a scattered people. But the Almighty God spoke through Isaiah that there's coming a time when he is gathering the Gentiles together. In John chapter 10, verse 16, the Lord Jesus makes it a confirmation. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, they are not of Israel, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Praise the name of the Lord. In gathering people together, God would, as it were, gather them in blocks. That's why we have churches. A group of people who have been gathered together. So God gathers us together in bunches, as it were, in churches. But then he is one sheep, he is one shepherd, and we are one fold. Now many people have misinterpreted this to mean that the church is one. The spiritual church is one. But the church on earth are many. Because you cannot have one church where everybody, the whole earth, will gather under. It's not possible. And we have seen in practical terms that it is something that God never intended because of its abuse. When the Romans, as it were, took over the church and called it the Roman Catholic Church, because the word Catholic actually means universal. It was supposed to be a Catholic church, a universal church, where you had bishops, you had elders. But what now happened was, over the years, some churches became bigger than other churches, and the bishops of those churches became, how do you call it now, bigger bishops than the smaller churches. And so they had to look for another name for such a bishop, and they called him Archbishop. After a while, there were pockets of archbishops all over the place, and they still needed to differentiate, and they called them cardinals. And so on and went until you had so many cardinals until one day they came up with the name Pope. And so they now have a Pope. And they have cardinals, and they have archbishops, and they have bishops, and they have priests, and so on and so forth. But that was never the intention that God had. God's intention was that the church was to be local, was to be localized, people gathered together to worship Him as individuals under a pastor and under elders. That was the essence of the church. The church was not supposed to be as complex as we have made it today. Each one gathering together in the name of God and worshiping the Almighty God and doing the things that the Almighty God wanted them to do. But you know, men, after a while we become powerful and we begin to gravitate towards the center of power. It's just a matter of time. After a while, when we also have become big, politics will enter into the church. That's why my prayer is that whatever will kill politics in our hearts, may the Almighty God continue to do it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I didn't hear that amen very well.
Amen.
Because that is when the church begins to die. The moment politics begins to enter, the church begins to die. The moment people begin to struggle and fight for position, the church begins to die. And that's not the essence of the gathering of the church together. We saw last week that when people gather together in a crowd, whether you know it or not, there's always a leader somewhere who has an agenda somewhere. And if you're not careful, you are going to be following that man's agenda. You may say, we're all just going, we're just gathering. It's a lie. You're actually following somebody's agenda, but you don't know it. But a few people there know whose agenda you're all gathering to. There's one agenda that I know, that when we gather before, that agenda is clean. That agenda is pure. That agenda is holy. That agenda is righteous. It's the agenda of the Almighty Himself. And that's why when people gather themselves together, rather when God gathers His people together under His name, you are sure that He is speaking to them the words that they should be hearing. But when they gather themselves together under a man, the man is likely to do whatever he wants to do. By the time these people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and they were giving Aaron instructions, Aaron, the leader, became the lead and became the symbol of authority to bring into place the desires of the people. That is one of the problems with congregational churches. In the congregational church, the congregation can bind themselves together and decide that this is what they want, and they tell the pastor, and the pastor has to do it. Or when the pastor has preached the sermon, after the service, one of them will come and say, sir, good sermon, but I don't think you want to repeat that sermon again. Because if you do, some of us are going to move our resources elsewhere. And if that pastor loves himself, he had better change his sermon. But if he loves God, then it doesn't matter what they want to do. He will continue to do what it is that he wants to do. Praise the name of the Lord. When we gather unto the Lord, what are the things that we should be doing? In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews 10, 25. Because see, if we are not doing these things, like the children of Israel, very soon we'll be building gold calves. If we are not doing the things that we are supposed to do when we are gathered together unto the Lord, we'll be doing something else. In Hebrews 10, 25, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So God does not say we shouldn't gather together. He says we should gather. We should, as a matter of fact, assemble. Should come together. As the manner of some is, because some people were no longer doing that, and we have that today. There are people who are saying, the church is, I don't want church anymore. We'll just stay in my house and we'll do our own thing. And that's good, but you can't do that forever. Because you are not an island. God has never created islands on earth. He wants people to come together. He says, but exhorting one another, or use the word encouraging one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. We need to gather ourselves together. We need to be gathered together unto God for encouragement, for exhortation, for teachings, for preachings about the word of God, particularly as the end times approach. In fact, right now we are already in the end times. And when you find yourself in the end times, you begin to see all kinds of things. There's this message I listened to. I don't have the tape. I just listened to it somewhere. I think I was in Enugu when I heard it playing. The title of the message was Injury Time. That was the title of the message. I don't know how many of you have heard of that. Okay. If you have not heard, go and search for it. You need to listen to that message. This is the end time. This is injury time. And he began to speak about injury time. Injury time is a time when pastors are committing all kinds of heinous crimes. He spoke about a pastor who was sleeping with his daughter. That's injury time. The kind of things that we see happening today If we are not careful, if people will not preach the truth that is in the Word of God, very soon, I guarantee you, 2 years from now, in fact that's too long, 1 year from now, many people will begin to think that it is normal to do those things. Because you rarely hear messages that challenge the iniquity that takes place in the world today. Believers are imbibing all kinds of things and believing that they are doing what is right. They are doing what is normal. They are doing what is natural. Time was when we were encouraged to seek the face of the Lord before we can get married. Now, nobody does that. Now, the message is pick and choose. You like the fellow, go ahead and marry. And then when you now run into trouble, you begin to wake the pastor up at odd times to come and separate one quarrel or the other. Time was when people believed God for the miracle of childbirth. Today, there's no need to believe God for anything anymore. The doctors have their own solution, even though their solution can be as problematic as it comes. But then it doesn't matter. It's a solution. It's what we want, and that's it. Time was when people went into the house of God, regardless of the state in which they were, and they came out with joy in their hearts. Today, it's not about internal joy. It's about the things that I can see, that I can lay my hands on. Food on my table, a good car to drive, a good job to have, and so on and so forth. Our gathering together has been tainted. And unless we gather together to exhort, to encourage, to teach, to correct, to discipline, and so on and so forth, through the Word of God, we are going to be in trouble. We are going to be in trouble. I'm sure by now you've heard that Satan has a church also. There's a church of Satan. And they do their own things in the church of Satan. So church doesn't mean anything anymore. It is what we do in the gathering that is important. It is not the form, but the function of church that is important. Secondly, in Acts chapter 12, verse 1 to 11, a very interesting story. We know of that story. How James was arrested and killed. And when Herod was excited, that he was happy that he got excited, people were excited with what he had done, he then grabbed Peter to kill and threw him into prison. Let's read it from verse 4. And when he had apprehended him, that is Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter or the Passover to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Let's pause. Let me digress a little bit because of a little word that you find there, the word Easter. If you have the King James, you will have it as Easter. If you have the New King James, it should be Passover. The New King James reads Passover, right? That's verse 4. That's the New King James. Good. The Old King James has it as Easter. Why? Because at that time, the Bible was written so that people can understand. And so they allowed Easter to come in bed. I want you to understand one thing. Easter is not a Christian festival. It happens in spring. But Easter is the English translation of a goddess called Oster. O-E-S-T-R-E. And that's the goddess of fertility. That's why you have the Easter eggs. And you have the Easter bunny. So let's not get ourselves involved in all kinds of things that we don't know anything about. What the Almighty God gave to us was a Passover. And today, the Passover is not something that you wait for a particular date. The Passover is something you do as often as you do it. As often we chose that, okay, once a month we'll celebrate the Holy Communion. But we don't do more than that. Now, in verse 5, the Bible says that prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. It would appear that when James was arrested, prayer was not made. They just said, oh, they will get over it. They will be out of it very soon. It's just a matter of time. But when they saw what happened to James, and Peter was not arrested, what did they do in the church? They began to pray. When we gather together unto God, besides encouraging one another, exhortation, teaching, correction, and so on and so forth, we also get involved in prayer. I've always said that a prayerless Christian is a noisemaker. And I believe that a prayerless church is just a noisemaker. They are just human And that's all they do. They do things that are physical. They want to know who the governor is. They want to interact with the governor. They want to have meetings with the minister, with the president, and so on and so forth, to get things done. They want to have connections. That's why the church is building itself into a power base in the end times, because it has missed out on the power that comes from heaven. And so it has to settle with the power that is here on earth. And that's not what God wants for us. God wants for us to exercise and exhibit the power that comes from heaven. And the power that comes from heaven comes as a result of the cries, the prayers of the people of God unto heaven, unto God. We know the story that by the time Peter was released, even the church that continued to pray, when Peter got there and was knocking, and the lady Rhoda saw it and went and told them that Peter is at the door, said, "Don't worry, it's his ghost." The church that was praying even prayed faithlessly. But God still honored the fact that they prayed and released him. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to encourage us. Never you shortchange yourself by not being in prayer. Never, you are shortchanging yourself when you are not praying. I guarantee you that. There is nothing that heaven is going to do apart from through the avenue of the prayers of God's people. I think it's in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, I believe, verse 14, where he says, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, then I will hear and I will heal." But there must be prayer from the people of God. It's not the people who are not of God who will pray, but the people of God who will pray. And when prayer is not being said by God's people, nothing of God is going to happen on earth. Instead, God will just be watching and be looking, as the devil will be having his way. He can't do anything because he has made up his mind and he has put it is his will that we must pray. That's why he put there, "Give us this day our daily." Otherwise, some people, if he just said, "Give us our bread," some people would have prayed for the bread for 1 year and shut down until next year before they ask. And that's what some people do. Every 31st of December to 1st, they look for any place that people are gathering to pray for the daily their bread for that year. And then they shut down until... I used to do it. I'm sure you used to do it too. Some of you still do anyway. Where we shut down for 1 year. You make sure that 31st catches you in church. At least, if nothing at all, 10 minutes to 12, you are there. Or 5 minutes to 12. Just try and be there before 12 and then cross into the new year in the church. I used to do it with alcohol in my system. We make sure that the bar is very close to the church. So from the bar, we look at the time. When it's 10 minutes to 12, we saunter into church and kneel down. But thank God that on one particular year, when I knelt down and cried, I said, "Lord, this alcohol, you must take it from you." And before the end of that year, he did. That's one prayer that he answered. And I thank God for that prayer, because he saved my soul, took alcohol from my system, and today here I am. Glory be to God. Amen. Psalm 102 verse 22. Psalm 102 verse 22. "When the people are gathered together and the kingdom to serve the Lord," or to worship God. To serve the Lord or to worship God. Each time you see service unto God, it's basically talking about our act of worship before the Almighty God. What do we do when we are gathered unto God? We are involved in service. We are involved in worship. Worship is something that you do with your heart, from within your heart. Service is also something that you do from within your heart. You don't serve as men pleasers. You don't serve to show men that you are serving. You serve towards God and unto God alone. We gather together to worship Him. We gather together to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. We don't have time to begin to go into a treatise on worship, because it will take 2 or 3 sessions of about 3 to 4 hours each for us to even deal with the issue of worship. But you must worship God in the beauty of holiness. You worship God coming clean. You cannot come with filth to say you want to worship God. You can't come with sin and iniquity in your life and say you have come to worship God. No. These are things that when we come to God to deal with certain issues in our lives. And we must have dealt with some things before we come unto the Almighty God. Our gathering to God is to worship Him. to give Him all the praise, to give Him all the glory for everything that we are, have, or whatever, it is unto God. We worship His names. We worship Him for His mighty acts. Let's look at Psalm 150. Psalm 150 before we proceed. Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. We are praising Him for His mighty acts. We are praising Him for His excellent greatness. What are the mighty acts of God? You know, many of us have not yet seen the mighty acts of God. But I guarantee you that the fact that you woke up this morning is a mighty act of God. There are people who went to bed and are not awake. Not because they did something wrong, but because for them, the mighty acts of God of waking them up just ceased. That was all. The Bible says that we are awake because God wakes us up. But if He refuses to wake us up, that's it. We are dead. There are what we call the unseen mercies of God. The things that take place without our knowledge. That's why when we gather to worship God, we worship Him not because of anything that we know that He has done, but because of who He is. Because we know He's God. We know He's good. We know that He's kind towards us. Whether we know of what He has done or not, we know that He's kind towards us. He's doing everything that is possible for you and I. The Lord Jesus said, "My Father works, and I walk along with Him." My Father is still working. God is not an idle God who sits there in one place and allows the universe to just go on revolving. No way. He keeps working. He keeps working. He keeps working. So we worship Him for His mighty acts. We worship Him according to His excellent greatness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. This is Paul writing. He said, "Upon the first day of the week, which is also Sunday, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings or collection when I come." When we gathered unto the Almighty God, we are gathered with our gifts, our offerings, our tithes. We bring these things to the house of God as our act of service, as our act of appreciation to God for what He has done for us. The Bible says, "As He has prospered you." Not more than He has prospered you, but as He has prospered you. If you want to use that in modern language, we say proportionately. Proportionately. So those who have more will give more. Those who have less will give less. They will give in proportion of how they have been prospered. And many of us know that the Almighty God has prospered us. So when we come into His presence, we come to gather to show appreciation for how He has prospered us, for the things that He has done for us, for the things that He has done in us, the gifts that He has given to us. He has cost men. You don't know how many people are working and are not earning a salary. Not because they can't earn it, but because they are working in places where they can just not pay them. They can't afford to pay them. But they want to work. So when we do that, when we have our jobs and we are given some, we bring a token out of that and say, "Lord, this is my token to say thank you for what you have done." Not because He will give us back. We know that He will give us back. But that's not the motivation. The motivation is because we love God. The motivation is because we appreciate Him. Today, I hear many people quarrel with the issue of tithing. I don't know much about all the jargons of Old Testament and New Testament, but I know one thing for sure, that when we want to pronounce a blessing from the Old Testament, everybody says, "Amen." Am I lying? But when we talk about tithing from the Old Testament, we say, "Oh, that's Old Testament stuff." It's just because we are greedy people. We are selfish people. We don't want to part with money. Tithing and offering is how God, that is God's economics for His church. The church is not supposed to be involved in bakery or printing Bibles. The church is not a business enterprise. Otherwise, the pastor will become a CEO. The moment the pastor becomes a CEO, you're all in trouble. Because he's going to work like an executive. There will be no human milk of kindness in him whatsoever. Everything will be based on rules and regulations. That is what the churches have become today. Because we are turning the churches into business enterprises. Let me let you into God's principles of economics for the church. Whenever God wants to increase the salary of the pastor, do you know what He does first? He increases your salaries. He makes things better for you. Because if things are better for you and you are faithful, because some people, particularly in churches where they write tithe number, and they've known them to give one particular amount of tithe, when they have salary increase, they stick to the old tithe. But as God prospers you and you are faithful, what do? You increase your giving to the house of God. That's it. It's as simple as that. Things are done. Things are better done that way. God did not intend that any one person will be the sustainer of the church. Otherwise, he knows what he can do. He can make the man so bloated, and the man will feel that without him, the church will not survive. That's why God wants everybody. That's why when we gather, everybody brings something to give. If you have, fine. If you don't have, that's understandable. But even if what you have is the widow's mite, drop it. You know what the widow's mite is? What is the widow's mite? Because I thought someone said a little. No, it's not. The widow's mite is all. The widow's mite is everything that you have, you drop it. And the Almighty God will bless you in return in Jesus' name. Psalm 79. So when we are gathered to the Almighty God, we gather to be taught, to be exhorted, to be encouraged, to be corrected. We gather to pray unto the Almighty God, because that is how he meets the needs on earth. That's how he meets things. As we pray to the Almighty God concerning issues, he meets us at the point of need. Now, when we talk of prayer, we're not just thinking of prayer for ourselves. We look at the society that we live in and we talk to God about it. Many of us need to be praying for this nation, Nigeria, that things will turn around. This nation cannot continue this way. If it continues the way it is going, we are dead men in this country, because all of us will have to either flee from this country or die inside this country. So we need to talk to God concerning this war, concerning the nation Nigeria, concerning our politicians, concerning even our pastors. There are many pastors who are now going in different directions because they cannot support their families, because people are just being selfish, plain selfish. Pastors can no longer support their homes, they can't support their families. So what do you have on Monday? You have carried your briefcase to go to ministry. Pastor has also carried his briefcase. Two of you jam in the ministry. Ah, Pastor, how are you, sir? Ah, fine. What are you doing here? Ah, you think you're the only one who can look for money? Me too, I'm looking for money. Then you come to church on Wednesday for Bible study, and the man of God says, brethren, let us encourage ourselves by praying. Because he's tired. He's as tired as you are. The man is tired. He's been running around looking for bread and butter for his family. Just like you have been running around. Now, you now come so that you can be succored. You can receive a word from him to encourage you. But what has happened? You are tired. The man of God is also tired. So you say, brethren, we need to pray. Meanwhile, what he's asking you to do is to pray for him. Because quite frankly, his needs are quite enormous. Not only does he have financial needs that should be met, he also needs to be prayed for so that he can minister to you come Sunday. On Saturday, they will invite him to a program. He has to go because he needs some small change in his pocket. He will go for any invitation. He doesn't discriminate anymore. Because any place that he will tell you, look, there's not one road into the marketplace. There are several avenues into the market. Through this, and he picks. But the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. We're also gathered to worship God. To worship before the Almighty God. And to just mention his name. You know, sometimes all you do in worship is just to mention the names of God. As you mention his names, the meaning of each of those names come alive for you. And you begin to understand who God is. I mean, for example, you have no food. What name do you want to call God at that time? Jehovah Jireh. But some people say, how should I call him Jehovah Jireh when I don't have food? That is where the only way you are going to know him as Jehovah Jireh is when you don't have. Because he will provide. As a God that will meet you at the point of need. You need a healing, that is the time to remember that his word, Jehovah Rapha, is the one that heals. His names hold significance. And we mention those names in worship. Praise the name of the Lord. Psalm 79 verse 13. Psalm 79 verse 13. So we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. We gather as God's flock to give him thanks, to show him appreciation for what he has done and for what he is yet to do. Psalm 106 verse 47. Psalm 106 verse 47 says, save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto thy holy name, and to triumph in thy praise. I remember when we got to the United States and we're looking for songs. So we went to a particular store looking for CDs. And I saw people just singing to their own praise. And I began to wonder, what's going on? Are there no songs of thanksgiving anymore? What's happening? And then some years after that, we were watching a program on TV, and they were asking for words translated into Spanish. So they were asking for, what are the common Spanish words? And one fellow, and usually what they do in those programs is that they would have taken a survey of 50 people or 100 people, and then based on the survey, whatever you answer, if you tallies with the survey, then tally. So one guy said, what's thank you in Spanish now? Gracias. And it wasn't there. And the announcer said, well, maybe it's because we are just not a thankful people. You would expect that one of the words that would be translated easily would be gracias. Because you go to a Spanish store to do something, the first thing you want to say is, thank you. But it's not even in their everyday English use. Thank you is not there. They believe that whatever they are getting it. They don't thank anybody for anything. And if we're not careful, we're going to be like that. We're going to be like that. You have to first of all be thankful to people. It becomes a part of you. Then you are thankful to God. There are many people who don't greet. Because in their home, they don't greet. So it's their habit not to greet. And so outside, they don't greet anybody. And when they come to church and you say, let's begin to thank God for, let's begin to worship God, they are wondering, what are they doing? Because they don't greet anyway. So, greet God, what for? Is it not God? He's not supposed to be doing what he's supposed to be doing. Why should I be greeting him? But no, we thank him. Let's look at Psalm 50. Psalm 50 from verse 5. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness. For God is judge himself. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon the thousand hills also belong to him. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. God said to his people, I have a problem with you guys. You guys give offering, no problem, I'm not quarreling with that. Pay your tithes, that's okay. But I have a problem with you guys. You treat me as though I am looking for food. What I truly want from you is thanksgiving. Give me thanks, and pay your vows. And then call upon me in the day of trouble, and you will see me perform. And then you will go ahead and glorify me. One of the reasons why things are not happening the way they should happen in our gathering is because we are not offering unto God the thanksgiving due to him. Thanksgiving is not just saying thank you. Thanksgiving is more than saying thank you. Thanksgiving also involves the act of physical expression, kneeling down, dancing before God. Sometimes you just grovel on the ground just to say thank you. I heard the story of a very wealthy man. What's his name now? The late Abiola. They said when he gets at the end of the day, when he gets home, he will strip himself naked. This is a Muslim. He will strip himself naked in his bedroom and begin to dance before his God. That he has been given an opportunity to be a blessing to some people. Maybe he went for, what do you call it now? What's that thing that they invite people to? To give money. Launching. So after the launching, he will get home, he will remove all his clothes and begin to dance before God, that he has been given an opportunity to be a blessing to a group of people. Then believers who serve the one true God will be grumbling. Say, now they want to take Thanksgiving offering again. Now they are spending quality time preaching. They won't preach about other things. Now they are preaching about money. No. Let's not be people like that. And in thanksgiving, we give God something. We give God words. And we give God our being in dancing. We give God everything. That's how to show appreciation. The Yoruba man says, the man who shows appreciation for something small is the one who will get something bigger. Because you have shown appreciation for little, you will be prospered in something that is bigger. Praise the name of the Lord. Finally, when we gather unto God according to the right purposes, there are some things that we need to, that we would expect that God will do. We've mentioned some of them, but I just want to mention two important ones. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were all gathered together in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We must expect infilling of the Spirit of God when we are gathered together unto Him, when we are gathered together unto God appropriately, when we are doing the things that God wants us to do together in that gathering. It is normal that we will be filled afresh, because it is expected that when you are scattered, that is when you are no longer gathered, you are busy using what He has given you at the last gathering to bring a blessing to so many. So right now, there is an emptiness. You are filled afresh when you come together as one. And you are better able to know that the Lord has indeed met with me. You can't come empty and leave God's presence empty. And unless you are not doing the right thing. Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. When we are gathered before the Almighty God appropriately, we can expect Him to pour out a blessing. A blessing that will touch both the head and the bottom. That will meet both the great and the least. Nobody is excluded or precluded from receiving the blessings of God when we are all gathered together rightly. It is when we are not gathered together rightly that we have a problem. But as long as we are gathered together rightly, we will receive every single thing that God has in store for us. Remember that it is not everything that you need, that you want rather, that God gives you, but all that you need. There's a difference between what you want and what you need. What you need is what God determines. What you want is your own personal desire. There was a case of a young man many years ago in a church. Apparently this guy had been praying for a wife. And that day God said, I should go and just tell the church that there's somebody who is praying for a wife. And that's not what he needs. What he needs right now is a job and his own accommodation. Then he can marry. At that point in time, there was a young man who was, every time we gathered, his prayer was one. He wants to marry. Meanwhile, he was living in his brother's house. And he had no job. And he wanted to get married in his brother's house. God said, no, that's not the prayer you should be praying. What you should be praying for is a job. And then, after the job, accommodation, and then go and get married. But you see, because of his wants, he turned it upside down. And so God will meet us at the point of need, the things that you and I need. Sometimes what you are crying to God for is not what you need. So He will bring to you the thing that you need. The blessing that God gives to His children when they are gathered is the blessing that they need, not the one they want. Sometimes, once in a while, when we are doing what is right, the want and the needs are one and the same. And at that point in time, you say, oh, God met me. But usually, it is the need that God will provide for, not the want, not the selfish desire. Praise the name of the Lord. Remember, Israel gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and they did the most indescribable thing. They went ahead and created a god for themselves. We are not to do that. The moment we begin to gather ourselves unto a man, and the man does not recognize that the gathering should be unto God, you are going to end up building gold calves. Because then that man is going to yield to all kinds of pressures, left, right, and center, rather than yielding from pressure from above. He will yield to pressure from below. And once he does that, whatever is going to come up is not going to be what you would expect. And if you are in that crowd, you are going to be part of those who are worshipping the gold calf. But when your gathering is unto the Almighty God, and your gathering unto the Lord is appropriate, is in the place of prayer, is in the place of receiving correction, sound teachings, is in the place of worship, is involves giving of thanks, giving of gifts and offerings unto the Almighty God, I guarantee you that you will receive feelings from above, and you will receive blessings from above. Let's bow our heads.